Welcome to the 207th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. That's where I am. I'm in Florida now. I was in California, but I'm in Florida. Thank you for listening. Just got back from California, Mendocino, Napa Valley area, but ran the Mendocino 50K. Thank you, Sid Garza Hillsman, and thank you, Stanford Inn. Stanford Inn's a great vegan resort inn. If you want to go out to Mendocino, they'll take really good care of you out there. Food was fabulous. The inn is fabulous. It's beautiful scenery. Sid put on, this is the fourth year for the Mendocino 50K. He did a wonderful job. The weather was a little bit warmer this year. It was also a little bit more windy this year. There was a gust of 25 miles an hour that affected the Pacific running of the part of it. There's part of it you run by the ocean. So that was a little bit hairy. You're trying to run on this little goat path and put one foot down and the wind's blowing you the other direction at the same time that you're tired. So that was a little bit more difficult this year. Glad to report I did not fall down this year. So I kept upright. That's good for a little improvement of my time. I saw somebody and they said, "Did you win?" No, I didn't win. I did finish. I finished in 7 hours and 42 minutes and 34 seconds. That was 21 minutes and 50 seconds faster than last year. I was overall 70th out of close to 150. There was 150 people that actually finished. I don't know how many people dropped out. I was the 30th female and fourth in my age group. So, yep, I'm happy about all that. Like I said, I'm really happy that I didn't fall down. The rope seemed to be the rope drop. There was a rope descent of, 200 feet that you had to rappel down the side of this wall. And it was a little bit more hairy this year, it seemed like. It was a little bit more frightened, I guess. There wasn't anybody at the bottom of the rope, so a little rope burn for hanging on for dear life. But otherwise, it was a good challenge. I really like the ultra running community. We met a lot of nice people. The day before the race, they had a session with, and I'll do a shout out to Yogi Triathlete or Jess Gumkowski. She led a meditation session beforehand and a visualization session, and it was very good and very relaxing. So thank you for getting us all in the mood and in the moment before the race. We met a couple of physicians that are actually thinking about doing a plant-based practice from up in Connecticut. Met the third place finisher that was from Sacramento. So all very, very nice people. The funniest thing that kind of happened, I'm always surprised when I run into people that listen to the podcast out in the public. And so I ran into, again, big shout out to Logan Helm. He came and said hi to me when I was at the Stanford Inn. He had listened to the podcast and then followed Sid and decided to come up and volunteer for the race. And so I actually got to meet him again out on the race course. I think he was somewhat surprised that I was alive when I came through, I think the fourth aid station. But nevertheless, it was really fun to see people that listen to the podcast and then meet them again out in the course. And the ultra community is, just really nice. Everybody's sitting around, they're cheering people when they come in. Everybody encourages people on the course. With that few runners and for a 50K distance, it gets spread out pretty quick. But you do run into people at the aid station, and occasionally on the steeper climbs, people come together. I met a family, guys that dad and sons were running the race together, 50K for the first time, and they had some friends with them. So they had a group of five guys running. So it's just a nice family event. Lots of dogs, some kids around, and it was a really, really nice day. And it's a beautiful event. You run through the redwoods. You run up a logging path to start. Then you kind of do this goat path climb up a pretty good elevation. And you do a little bit of a log crossing over a little ravine. A couple times, two water crossings. You rappel down the side of the I don't know, it's the side of an embankment by where a bridge goes over, so it's a pretty good drop. So those are the, and then you run along the Pacific, right along the brink, and the wind was howling and the waves were crashing. It was just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous sight. Running along the Pacific there, there's a lot of wildflowers blooming that just really low to the ground. Out on the course in the woods, little purple flowers, little blue flowers blooming all over the place. So just really, really pretty to be out in nature and run free. And, you know, I got to thinking about it while, you know, after and before. But what a nice thing for a group of people to come. And there's, you know, you don't have to worry about road closing like you do in a regular big marathon. And you know, Sid stuck up a tent. They put a few aid stations out. The aid stations had water and it was Roctane sports drink. They had some Oreos. They had, which are vegan, not whole food plant based. But when you're in the middle of running a 50K, I got to tell you, one or two of those taste pretty good. They had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on a whole wheat bread, I might add, and some Coke and some gels at each aid station. So it was really nice. Jess's husband BJ and their golden retriever Clark were at a lot of the aid stations. I will say, I have to tell the story. Michael really loves golden retrievers. It's his favorite dog. He had one that was his favorite dog in the whole wide world, and he stopped to talk to Clark and missed a turn. So he had added a little extra time, but he got a couple pets from Clark, or Clark got a couple pets from him, so it all worked out. But just a really, really nice day at the end of the race. For a change, they Stanford Inn provided the food, so there were homemade taco shells, burrito shells, and tofu, and roasted vegetables, and beans, and rice. Really, really, really hit the spot. So thank you to everybody. It was a great race. I think we'll probably have to go back next year since Michael missed a turn, so we can do it again. And I'll, again, hope to get a little bit better. Was sore afterwards, but nothing horrible, nothing out of the ordinary. No big aches and pains. My quads stayed sore longer than anything, and they're tired. I'm just, you know, my training, as I've stated here on the podcast, consisted mainly of weight training, a few really small hills on bridges around Florida, and then some step-ups and treadmill training, you know, doing some hills and like that, but not near enough. I felt better on the hills this year, going up especially. I did a bit of a sidestep when it got really steep. I read somewhere in some ultra running magazine that that was good, and it really was good. It took the pressure off my low back. Last year, my low back got really stiff after, you know, trying to do the forward climbs on the really steep areas. I never had to use my hands this year, so that was good. The descents, I kind of tried to do a little bit of a giddy-up going down to try to break the pressure on my quads. That seemed to help. I'm still not a good descenter. I'm still cautious. I still have a day job. I do not want anything to be broken, especially out in the middle of nowhere. So I am apprehensive as far as all that goes. So I wouldn't say I didn't old lady run it down the hill, but I certainly didn't carefree 20 something run it down the hill either. So probably lost time in places where there was like a 4 or 5 mile stretch that was downhill. Somebody that was a good descender would probably make up a lot of time there. I didn't. I'm not sure what I'd do to fix that. Again, I'm really happy that I didn't fall down. So I'm okay for that. I guess the best thing I could do would be to run faster on the uphills and perhaps maybe a little faster going out. But I really don't think I would have wanted to do much more unless I was in significantly better shape just to have some at the end. I kept a pretty steady pace throughout the whole race. I didn't have to walk for any length of time at all. Like again, a few times when it got really steep. You know, I walked across the water, not on the water, but across the water. So, you know, so in places I walked a little bit, but not a tremendous amount. So really, really happy. Had a great time. Now it's on to triathlon training. So I have to get the bike out now, get back to the pool on a regular basis, change things up a little bit for the weight workout. And so I look forward to doing that for the season. We'll go from there. I use Zwift. I ride a good bit inside during the week, ride outside on the weekend. The Ironman that we're going to do is Chattanooga. It's the end of September, middle of September, end of September, I believe. So it has a pretty hilly run, a moderately hilly bike ride. So I'll have to prepare for that. Right now, I feel like I'm pretty good shape for the marathon run. So we'll see if I can hang on to that and maybe make that a little bit better. So great vacation, great place to visit. Highly recommend it to anybody if you're doing ultras. I would say this was a great one to try. So now we're back in Florida, and we're in the 80s. Not too awful humid yet. Backyard garden's always nice to get back and see what's going on. I have white potatoes that are doing really good. Peppers are growing all over the place. Thai chili peppers, jalapeno peppers, poblano peppers. Even some Scotch bonnet peppers. So excited about that. All of those are taking off. The funniest thing that happened, you know, we have a tower garden. We have tomatoes and peppers on it. We have tomato plants in raised beds. But we have these tomatoes that just kind of sprouted out of the rocks that we have surrounding the beds, decorative rocks. And these things are prolific. And it's just kind of where we threw a tomato off the porch and it landed in the rocks and a tomato took off. And so they're doing really good. And there's one where we planted a persimmon tree and used some compost, and a tomato came up through the compost by the persimmon tree, and the persimmon tree actually died. There wasn't a leaf on the persimmon tree at all. So we used the persimmon tree as a stake. And this tomato plant was doing, you know, really good. A lot of tomatoes. There's actually two varieties that came out of there and got a lot of tomatoes. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, leaves start to reappear on the persimmon stick. So the leaves started sprouting and started looking better and better. And tonight I went out and they're actually flowers and baby persimmons on the persimmon stick. So obviously, if anybody out there didn't know, persimmons and tomatoes like each other, so it's a great way to grow persimmon trees, great way to grow tomato plants. And if you have tomatoes that you have inside that are getting mushy or starting to have some bad spots on them, don't throw them away. Just cut them, put them on some dirt, and let them sprout, and then thin them out, and you have tomato plants. You can grow them in a pot on your, you know, on your porch, or you can, you know, plant them in a garden or raised bed, but it's a great way to start tomatoes. So never throw your tomatoes out. Just keep them and recycle them. While we were traveling, we had delicious food, kale and quinoa salads, chickpea and edamame salads with sunflower seeds, Brussels sprouts on top of a white bean sauce, polenta with mushrooms and Brussels sprouts and snap peas, quinoa enchiladas with refried beans and Spanish rice. We had a veggie pizza one night, oatmeal for breakfast. I had the enchiladas for breakfast. So really, really good food all the time we were gone. Very, very colorful. I did have some beets before the race. Shout out to Mama Says. They're not quite ready to get to Mendocino yet, but I did get some beets at a local grocery store, and we had those the night before. I didn't have them the morning of because they had some garlic and fennel in them, and I just wasn't brave enough to do that. But, you know, Mama Says, she's a big supporter, and we're actually with them launching a sports nutrition package that Addie Meinrich, my registered dietitian, and myself are working along with Mama Says to get some food out there that you can have delivered at your races. Obviously, the beets that we love, the beet puree to get out there, some granola, some breakfast cookies, some really good recovery dishes with beans, a variety of different beans, and stews that are hearty for athletes, but anybody obviously can partake. There'll be, you know, low salt, no oil, and you know, no sugar added. So we're just whole foods, plant-based, vegan all the way. Mama Says also has, you know, a heart healthy bundle that's salt, sugar, oil-free too. So, you know, you can go on their site. If you go to drdelaney.com, we have a link that you can order, and there's some perks there. So go there and check it out. They have a lot of really good foods. It's, you know, it's not only good for traveling, but it's good to have in your freezer when you just have a late night or you have a late lunch and you don't have a chance to cook or you don't want to cook. It's a great substitution for being in the kitchen. Yes, that was Gretchen. So there are a lot of podcasts out there that talk about, you know, eating, especially with sports nutrition and people wanting to drop weight. And, you know, the keto diet comes up all the time where people want to be keto. And I even had a member that's just trying to transition to plant-based saying that, you know, he got a beet salad, said it was keto on it. And I just, you know, I kind of lost it over that. But, people don't understand, well, how bad could it be if I'm losing weight? If I lose weight, then some of my health problems might go away. Well, there was a study done in Journal of American Medical Association. It was actually published this month. And it was an observational study. And they went as far as saying that, you know, high-fiber diet, you know, protects against a variety condition. And basically saw 15 to 30% decrease in all-cause mortality, as well as coronary artery disease, strokes, diabetes, colon cancer. And, you know, people also, you know, that had the most fiber also, there was a, you know, some protective benefits with pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer. And, you know, so when we're talking about fiber, it's only in plant foods and foods. And, you know, it's colon cancer is rarely seen and places where people get over 50 grams of fiber. So you can't get too much fiber. 50 to 70 grams is a great number to shoot at. Fiber only comes from plant foods. Don't do life hacks and try to add fiber in funny different ways. But the fiber, you know, from fruits and vegetables, and it's whole grains too. You know, people get so worried about having grain products, but brown rice and quinoa and barley and some whole grain breads are going to give you fiber that's protective. And a lot of what it does is it feeds your microbes. So fiber decreases the absorption of cholesterol. So that's kind of how it decreases your cholesterol. But it also feeds your microbes, and you end up producing butyrate, which and other short-chain fatty acids. And that leads to the gut bacteria producing substances, and then the butyrate that actually causes what we call apoptosis of cancer cells, which is basically your body is able to destroy cancer cells before they form tumors. You decrease gut inflammation, decrease leaky gut. So there's a whole host of things that high fiber does for you, and you can't eat a high fiber diet and eat a ketogenic diet. End of story. It doesn't work. It's just impossible. So only fiber comes from, or fiber only comes from eating fruits and vegetables. And so when you're trying to avoid those, you're avoiding something that is literally life-saving. It was even life-saving so much that when they looked at smokers, they still had decreased head and neck cancers with an increased fiber diet. So, you know, it's really important when, you know, we look at nutrition, and not only to look at macronutrients and even antioxidants, but just plain old fiber. So what about some of these, you know, soluble fibers that you see into things? They're certainly not as good, but they research basically says that they probably have some physiological effects. So when you look at corn fiber, which is corn, you know, is an enzymatic hydrolysis of corn starch. When something says soluble corn fiber on it, or sugar cane fiber, you know, those are what we call, you know, synthetic non-digestible carbohydrates, cellulose, guar gum, locust bean gum, pectin, psyllium husk, beta-glucan. They all have some benefits as far as probably lowering risk of coronary artery disease, decreasing cholesterol. So some physiologic effects, but you know, they have not been shown in and of by themselves to really change and reverse disease. So that they don't really hurt you, but they don't really benefit you. And I'm of the opinion that if you can avoid these extra additives, then do that. Get your fiber from whole fruits and vegetables. If we continue down that path of the microbes, you know, inflammation is being, you know, it's the buzzword of, you know, that's around nowadays with regard to inflammation involving, you know, cardiovascular disease, inflammation involving osteoarthritis, obviously inflammation and autoimmune diseases. What we eat affects the ecosystem within our body, and that is coming to be known to be really associated with cardiovascular diseases. And some of the ways that it's proposed to occur is that, you know, when you're exposed to animal products that are particularly high in L-carnitine, eggs, meat products, dairy products, your microbes will convert it to trimethylamine. Some people are better at it than others. There was a study that Dr. Greger reviewed that, you know, vegans given a steak don't produce as much TMAO as people that are meat eaters all the time, but nevertheless, it doesn't take long to change your microbes so that you can be a good TMAO producer. And if you have high levels of trimethylamines, you have trouble clearing cholesterol. So, you know, the body has its own way of clearing cholesterol out of the system by bringing it back to the liver to be metabolized. That just decreases. There's an increased activation of white blood cells, specifically macrophages, that cause form foam cells and are sources of inflammation in the vascular wall. There's an increased activity of platelets that potentiate clot formation. There is inflammation within the vessels, as we talked about with the white cells. You can also get some kidney disease with renal tubular fibrosis and injury that leads to fluid retention that further stresses the heart, direct heart failure. Again, eating a low-fiber diet and eating animal products, select for these things. So if you're eating a ketogenic diet or you're eating a high-protein diet or people are worried about their protein, these are the things they're exposing themselves to when they eat this, when they eat animal proteins in a high-fat diet. And by messing up the balance of your microbes, good microbes, bad microbes, different microbes, it leads to increased gut permeability. You have absorption of proteins and inflammation directed against that. So everything is turned up as far as the inflammatory system goes. And it's not like you eat one steak and that turns on and then it turns off after that steak goes away. You have this whole environment set up in your gut that leads to chronic inflammation. You know, there's some studies done on coral reefs. And because of overfishing, different bacteria have taken over and exposed the coral. And the different fish populations, the big fish, there's not enough big fish to handle all the algae, and it leads to the death of the corals. Same thing happens, you know, in nature when we try to put out certain insect or block out certain species, we have an overgrowth of another species. So when humans get involved and try to, you know, mess with Mother Nature, whether it's in the wild or in our guts, it typically causes a problem. So eat your plants. This week in our nutrition classes, we just had class Thursday and Friday of this week since I was gone, but we had jackfruit sloppy joes. If you haven't had jackfruit, you can buy jackfruit in a can that's in a brine. So we get a lot of the salt out by washing it, boiling it, rinsing it, and then preparing it. And we did it in a homemade barbecue sauce that's in our upcoming cookbook. Today we did a coconut encrusted tofu with a vegetable stir fry. That's also in the cookbook. So the cookbook is hopefully coming out in the next couple of weeks. We have the pictures are being put into the pages and everything. The final touches are being done. So hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have the cookbook. So we'll be excited to launch that. Of course, I'll have it available on the website. It'll be on Amazon. And, you know, if you give us an email, drdelaney.com or Jamie at drdelaney.com, we can get you a signed copy. The cookbook is by myself and then Addie Delaney Meinerch, my daughter and registered dietitian, and my mother and Addie's grandmother. So the name of the cookbook is the plant-based wellness, the doctor, the dietitian, and the diva. And so you may want it signed by the diva, because she is she's the brains behind the organization. She's the chief number one cook and has come up with a lot of the recipes over the years. And the dedication is actually to my grandmother, with her salt rice and bread, because that's largely why I became a cardiologist and have such interest in preventing cardiovascular disease and specifically diabetes. Both my grandmothers died as a result of diabetes. So my grandma Addie was this prolific cook, wonderful Irish cook, and made this bread, salt rice and bread. And we have that recipe in there. So if you buy that cookbook, I dare you to make that bread. You'll never want to eat any other bread. So it's really good. We've used most of the recipes in our nutrition class, and we eat them at home. So they're tested, they're for everybody. So whether you have kidney disease or autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, or overweight or heart disease, these recipes are all fine. The nutrition facts are there. We look to increase your fiber, increase your nitric oxide producing greens, make things colorful and pretty, increase your antioxidants with fruit. So I hope you'll give the cookbook a look and enjoy the recipes as much as we do. You know, like I said, when we were on vacation, you know, we oohed and aahed about every meal that we had, mainly because of the colors. They're pretty vibrant and alive. You know, the food was just, there was just health on the plate, made you feel good after you eat it. And that's what plant-based nutrition should be all about. You should eat and feel good and energized and be healthier because of it, and not have to worry about if there's something in there that you have to avoid. There's simple recipes. You don't have to look in the far corners of the earth for special ingredients. They're all things that are available in your local grocery store. So we certainly enjoyed doing the cookbook together as a family. Addie did a wonderful job taking the photos, and I'll be really glad when it gets out. The other thing that I've been delving into is breath work. I have just finished a couple books on breathing, and one being The Oxygen Advantage by Patrick McGowan, and the other a review by Scott Carney, What Doesn't Kill Us, looks at Wim Hof and other breathing mechanisms. I think that's the next frontier for us in our practice, is to really focus on breath work and breathing and improving that. It's a focus for me personally as well, to really get to understand how I can improve my sports performance by changing my breathing patterns and carbon dioxide extraction. We learn basic physiology in medical school, and then we go straight to pathology, and you don't really think about your breathing, how it can affect your day-to-day life. Just your oxygenation of tissues, and just a tidbit of we talk about nitric oxide from vegetables all the time, especially kale and cabbage and Swiss chard and spinach and so forth, that when you eat that, your body's able to produce nitric oxide and dilate your blood vessels. Well, just breathing through your nose. You also have in nasal passages, the ability to make nitric oxide that you can absorb and cause a similar effect. So if you're breathing through your mouth when you're at rest or with exercise or sleeping at night, you're not taking advantage of the nitric oxide potential. There's also a lot of other benefits to, you know, breathing. A good effect of breath. Most of your capillaries are located in the base of you have a higher density of capillaries in the bases of the lungs. So taking a good breath using your diaphragm, you know, helps you to oxygenate better. So there's a lot of things that go on that we'll probably review here on the podcast over time. We're certainly, like I said, doing it with the members to try to get everybody to breathe a little bit better, breathe a little bit more mindfully, and you know, we just all want to keep getting better. We kind of joked, you know, that we were some of the older runners in the 50K, but certainly I didn't feel like, you know, one of the older runners. And the idea is to be able to keep doing ultra marathons and triathlons as long, you know, well into 80s and 90s. And to do and to keep getting better. I'm not ready to start slowing down. I still feel like I can improve and get better, and so that requires learning and changing and growing. So I think, you know, I want to encourage that with the members in the practice as well as anybody that wants to listen, that it's important that we're always trying to make things a little better. And you know, what can we do to make things better from a nutritional standpoint, from an exercise standpoint, from a breathing standpoint, from a mindful standpoint? And it's assessing where you are and where you want to be. It's not being disappointed with where you are, but, you know, what can you do to change things? I'm not about hacks at all. I'm not about the quick fix. I think it's very interesting that a lot of science that's being done today looks at things that nutrition is very much a part of and can influence, just like the, you know, nitric. We see people with heart failure that have a normal ejection fraction where they don't make or produce nitric oxide like they should. And, you know, so the more diseases are occurring because of a lack of nitric oxide, because of vascular changes. So nutrition is, you know, a part of that. Fiber is a part of that. Our gut microbiota and the inflammatory axis is all part of nutrition. So instead of looking for a pill or a potion or an injection or a stem cell therapy, I think that we need to, you know, continue to focus on the simple things, and the simple things being our basic nutrition, eating things, you know, so we can recognize them, carrot and kale and potatoes, not try to make things, you know, powders and potions. And we need to focus on moving our body and continuing to be mobile and, you know, being mindful and taking time to relax and, you know, be aware and be present. So, It's more than just taking a pill or a potion, and it's more than just eating. It's got to be all of them together. So I hope that through this podcast, I can continue to kind of bring things to you that you may find interesting. And if you do, you know, you can read the books and read the references. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about our practice, go over on to drdelaney.com. It's drdelaney.com and learn what we're doing. I'm going to be at the Sarasota Veg Fest this coming, not this weekend, but next weekend. I'm going to speak and be on a panel. We're going to actually have success story presentations and bring in a family that's done really well. So we'll be there. If you're in the Sarasota area, Tampa Bay area, come by and say hi. Love to meet you. Always excited to hear meet somebody that listens to the podcast. Have any questions, give me an email at jamie@drdelaney.com. It's jami@drdelaney.com. Remember to look for the book and remember to check out Mama Says. Keep moving. If you again, have any questions, let us know. We'd love to help you make your transition. It amazes me how much success we've had with getting people off their medicines for diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure. And it's certainly been the best years of my practice doing things with this focus. So thank you very much for listening. And I'll have you tune in. Please tune in next week. Talk to you later.